Welcome to B-Movies and E-Books. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And today we're going to be covering the new Arnold Schwarzenegger film, Maggie. And then the trade paperback of Hellraiser, The Dark Watch, Volume 1. But first, is there any sort of news or anything you want to talk about, Brian?
I did see that Harry Shearer? Shearer. I don't know why I can't say that word. Anyway, leaving The Simpsons.
Yeah, I saw that. And as of right now, it's still in the air, but it's apparently because they're not allowing him to do any other creative work.
It's gonna suck.
But the thing is, I mean, he's been doing stuff for years, you know?
Yeah.
Like, why are they all of a sudden taking a hard stand? I don't know.
I just heard the announcement and stuff. But, I mean, if he goes, that's a lot of big people.
It is, but, I mean, it's not like he owns them. They'll just revoice them.
Yeah.
But it is going to be odd whenever, you know, the voice changes. It's kind of like, have you ever watched any of the Scooby-Doos recently without... Or any just the post Casey Kasem Scooby Doo's?
The ones with Matthew Lillard?
Is it Matthew Lillard actually doing it now?
I think so.
Huh? Yeah, they sound crappy compared to Casey Kasem. I mean, I don't know. It is odd whenever a character, when a voice changes, but it's not the end of the world. Those are great characters. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why they would get rid of. Who all does he do? He does.
Mr. Burns and Smithers.
Ned. Like,
yeah, Principal Skinner, Otto, Lenny, Reverend Lovejoy,
Scratchy. Yeah, they'd be kind of screwed if they don't. Oh, God, doggy, that stupid dog, Smith, stop it! He was so good for like the first 15 episodes, mm-hmm. and then now he's just got it in his head that he's got to bark all the time. But anyway, no, that's a lot of people that are really, you know, essential characters, but they can, yeah. They can give.
I mean, it's basically him, Dan Castellaneta, and Hank Azaria are like the Simpsons.
Well, the other thing is, you got to think. Okay, they've been doing this one TV show. They've had a career on this show longer than a lot of people's careers in their industries, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, at some point they're going to retire anyway. It's whether it's over contract disputes or whatever, they're going to get off the show. It's not like they can live forever just because the show's going to stay renewed. So,
it almost sounded like you hesitated to say relevant.
Oh, no. They'd have been canceled long ago if it was due to relevancy, but still. I mean... You know, I don't really know that they can keep everyone forever. So whatever happens now is going to definitely set a precedent on how they treat future people.
Yeah.
Not people from the future, by the way.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, that was, you know, I watched a lot of TV and stuff over the past 2 weeks. I guess we recorded this right before I had my surgery. And mm-hmm. right now I'm just kind of toward the end of the first stage of the recovery period where I can finally talk and stuff again. But, yeah, so I've been like pretty much on my ass most of the past 2 weeks. And I hadn't really checked out a whole lot of news. I've been watching a lot of TV, but that's not really productive for this portion of the podcast. I did see that they're thinking about, going forward with the reboot of The Craft, does this matter to you in any way?
Speaking of relevant, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe not everyone remembers. Maybe we have some younger listeners. I don't know. But The Craft was a 90s movie that was like quintessential 90s.
Yeah.
And it was these kind of outcast girls started a little witchcraft coven, and then it seemed like every girl after that wanted to be a witch for about 5 days. Didn't it seem like that? Like,
I mean,
just every, no,
I don't know.
It seemed like every one of them that I talked to, I don't know. Maybe
you just hung out with a bunch of witches.
that's what I'm starting to think. Shit.
He had nothing to do with the movie at all.
Anyway, well, who knows?
I don't know.
Anyway, but yeah, but what's cool is it's the director of Honeymoon. Have you seen Honeymoon?
No, I have not.
That's the person attached to it. Honeymoon actually was a pretty badass movie. It's on Netflix. It's shit. What's the girl's name? You know, nothing about love. You know, nothing. Jon Snow.
Ygritte?
Yeah. She's the star of that movie. Anyway. Yeah. She, it's weird. They go to a honeymoon. Like, they go on their honeymoon. It's her and this dude. It'd be great if it was the actor that played Jon Snow. But anyway. No, they go on their honeymoon and she just starts acting weird and stuff. And then it turns out that, like, these aliens have messed with her. And so, anyway, it's weird. It's a weird movie, but it's really good. And I guess that was a slight spoiler that it was aliens, but whatever.
Yeah, I think it was.
I was thinking that it was in the trailer, but the more I think about it, no, it was not. So, anyway, spoilers on a good movie. But, yeah, it's really cool that they attached someone like that to direct because... that movie was really competently made and smart, and so maybe it won't just be, I don't know, Eve Six songs.
Yeah, that's exactly what the reboot to The Craft needs.
Well, speaking of which, me and you started talking about it yesterday. I had gotten the comic book of Archie versus Predator.
Yeah.
AVP. Anyway, I got issue one, and I actually still haven't read it. I just got it yesterday, though. But it was, I don't know. Like, it's odd. It's on Dark Horse, apparently. I don't know why it's not on Archie Comics and Dark Horse. But anyway, I don't know if we need to retread this entire conversation. But that leads me back to... just that they're you know, Archie Comics are really doing some crazy stuff between that and the Sharknado crossover and
Afterlife.
Yeah, and Afterlife with Archie. Oh my God! Like, if they had to scrap one, I would be really, really sad if they scrapped that but kept in like Archie's Burger Digest or some shit like that. You'd see it at a gas station.
I think that would be like Jughead's Burger Digest.
What's odd is I would think that they're one of the more profitable companies. Don't you think?
You think so?
Maybe not.
I mean, comic books in general aren't very profitable nowadays.
I would say right now they're more profitable than they were 10 years ago.
No, 90s were the heyday.
Yeah, 10 years ago, Brian.
Oh, shut up. No, but like, I mean, there was routinely selling, you know, issues would sell millions of copies in the 90s. And then not so much nowadays.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a hell of a lot more interest in them nowadays.
I think it's very much like the Netflix, like Hulu type thing too, where it's a lot easier for independent comics to get their stuff out there. Mm-hmm. You know, you can put it on Comixology. You can just, like, you know, put them as digital downloads, things like that. Whereas, like, paper production is really expensive, you know?
Yeah. Well, the other thing, I was just judging that because they've been around for, you know, since my grandparents were children. You know, the Archie comics have just been around a long time.
So is DC.
I'm not saying, I didn't say fuck DC. I said, anyway, but no, they've just been around a long time. And so anyway, what I was getting at was, you know, you can buy them everywhere. There's all sorts of Archie comics anywhere. And yet I found that they were running a Kickstarter after we talked.
Yeah. Aren't they catching flack for that?
I want to give them some flack for that. That's kind of shitty, I think. They're saying that they tied up all their funds was some sort of, I could have this totally wrong, but what I got out of it was that they tied up their funds with a distribution deal with Walmart and Target to push their digest, the Archie digest out there. And I would think that should be the first thing to leave, right? Like, that doesn't seem like anything that's remotely relevant.
Well, I mean, people still buy it. I mean, it's still there, you know, with all these new, or with all this extra comic book stuff everywhere around, you know, there's still not as many, like, kids-friendly comics anymore.
Well,
either no. What?
No, I mean, either way, it just seems like, okay, we made a bad business decision, but and we want to reboot Archie.
Oh, you're saying the deal should go away?
Or
get rid of Archie Digest.
Oh, no, I said what I meant was both. Like, no, I mean, they still have like a million kid comic books. Like, Archie, I don't know if you've explored the world of Archie, but that dude has like 20 comics. It's like,
oh, no, I know. But I'm saying, like, other than Archie and some other things, like, you know, most of the comic stuff done nowadays is geared towards more adult fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's they like, still have a lot.
No, I mean, like, I think DC has like two kid friendly comics right now, like two specifically for kid comics.
Do you think that it's actually that they're getting to an older audience, or do you think that now they feel the need to rate everything, whereas it used to just kind of be, hey, this is a comic, and unless it said the F word a million times, it was, and never said anything about mature audiences?
Yeah, I mean, it could be something.
Because I feel like a lot of comic books that I read as a kid, they didn't have as bad of language as they do now, but they still had a lot of graphic stuff in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really feel that I shouldn't have been reading them.
No.
And except, I mean, I don't know if I would show a kid like Preacher, but that actually was from our childhood, you know?
Yeah, but it wasn't for kids.
No. No, I know, but what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that I feel like they're just segregating everything. You know, this is this rating, blah, blah, blah. This is 10 to 12-year-old. This is 12 to 14-year-old. How about you just put out a good story, and whoever reads it, reads it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what if you have... I'm not, you know, advocating for censorship or anything like that, but then if you have no ratings, what if you get a kid go into a comic book shop and buy Crossed on accident?
or then something that kid like that. Just got the coolest comic of his life.
Yeah, he did.
No, I know. I mean...
But I mean, things were actually even worse earlier back in the day with like the Comics Code and things like that. Like whenever EC had to say they weren't a comic book and they were a magazine so they could actually print horror stuff.
Well, all I'm getting at is that by saying, oh, DC only has like two kid-friendly comics, they probably have a lot that are kid-friendly.
Yeah, I mean, like, but I mean, specifically marketed towards children.
Yeah, but when you were a kid, did you ever actually pick up like the Sonic the Hedgehog and all those like quote-unquote kid titles?
I did pick up Batman Adventures, which was the one that was an animated series.
Yeah, and they still have a...
Because, I mean, the animated series was not, like, for little children anyway. The Bruce Timm one?
Mm-mm. You know, I was actually... That was one of the things that I was looking for whenever I was preparing to be on bed rest for a while, was trying to find Batman the Animated Series on DVD. But everywhere that I could find it was like $50.
Yeah.
It's like super expensive. But I thought I found it for like $10 at Walmart once. It was like because it's in volumes. It's not done by seasons. But I found like volume one for like $10 or $15 at Walmart once, and now I can't find it.
Yeah, that was back whenever they used to do like, I remember I saw Transformers, like the original series back in the day, and it was like season one, volume one, right? And it was like 5 discs, and I think it was like 6 episodes or something like that.
Well, this one was I think it overlaps seasons. Like, it's not as bad as that, or like I have the same thing with a Get a Life. You remember Chris Elliott's Get a Life? I have like a volume of that, and it's like four episodes on a VHS tape. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. All I'm saying is that I think there's a lot more kid-friendly things out there.
I mean, there is a, you know, just going back to DC, they are starting to do more kids. They've got a Bizarro comic and Batmite comics coming out just specifically for children.
I think that's good. They definitely need to service the kid market because, you know,
it's where their future people are going to come in.
Yes, exactly. The only reason the adults now are reading is because they were hooked as a kid. Or if they're like me, read quite a bit as a kid, still not quite hooked on any of it, but kind of interested. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I got that. I got. I started reading, what was that? Hellblazer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. It's better than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why I still picture Constantine as a superhero.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's not really. Mm-mm. So I think the fact that he's not makes me kind of happy and piques my interest a little more.
I can see that.
That, and I started reading Kick-Ass 2.
Mm-hmm.
I still hadn't read it. Anyway, yeah. But no, what I was getting at, and back to Archie, what I was getting at is whenever they do reboot it, let's kick out the whole Kickstarter thing. When they do reboot it, are you going to be interested or no? Or?
I'll watch it, but I'm not really that interested.
You'll watch it?
You read it? Wait, I'm sorry. I thought, aren't they doing a TV show too?
Yeah, they're doing a TV show, but they're also rebooting the comic.
Oh, like, they do that all the time.
No. Like, it's Archie number one. Like, it's a totally, like, this is going to be the main focus instead of their other Archie. I think what they're doing is they're leaving that to be a kid's title and updating this one, but they're putting all their focus on this. And
I thought we were talking about the TV show.
Oh, no. I don't really think I'm going to give a crap about it. Yeah, I think it's going to turn out like One Tree Hill.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just a redheaded teenager that two girls are like, yeah. And for hopefully some, they don't talk
for
like that.
Some inexplicable reason.
Yeah, it doesn't say why, other than just Archie's a good guy. That's really all he has going for him, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He's not a well-defined character, is he? Does he have a lot of character? We talk a whole hell of a lot about Archie for two guys that really don't give a shit about him.
I don't know.
But I'm starting. What I'm saying is, I'm starting to get really.
You're going to get real into it, aren't
real
you?
Real into Archie because they're taking so many odd risks, and I think maybe it's all hey, let's do this so we don't go under.
Yeah, or just to rekindle interest,
remain some sort of relevancy.
You know, like 10 years ago, nobody was talking about Archie anymore.
Last year, they had to kill him for anyone to care about him. And then two or three years before that, they introduced a gay character.
Yep.
Or maybe it was an existing character that came out as gay. I don't know.
No, I think he was brand new.
Huh. What, Archie's friend Kevin Keller?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, Archie's doing some, they're taking a lot of really cool steps. So I'm kind of interested in everything Archie now. So much so that I've listened to a Riverdale podcast.
Oh my god.
Dude, I think it's going to be about 3 years away from whenever I get my first Archie tattoo.
Your first?
Well, yeah, because about 3.5 years away from whenever I complete my Archie sleeve. My Archie sleeve.
Well, I look forward to seeing many Archie reviews on the new website.
Yeah, well, because I'm so cheap, I'll probably just... remain interested, but just, you know, buy.
You're just gonna buy the digests.
Yeah. Well, all right. What else we got other than Archie? Oh, you want to talk about our website?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to segue into. Thanks for ruining that.
Well, go for it.
The website's up. We've got some reviews and junk on there. You can go to bmoviesandebooks.com, or if you prefer brevity, bandepod, just like our Twitter handle, .com.
bnepod.com. Yeah. And actually our website has shaped up quite quickly.
It's expanded to more categories than I expected it to as well.
Well, because we have everything like in its own little category, and there's certain things like video games that we probably won't cover a whole lot. Video games and honestly, comics were a late addition on there, wasn't it?
Yeah, comics and TV kind of came in. At first, it was under books, but then I felt the need to segregate them.
Yeah,
because some people who are into comics aren't into literature, and vice versa.
Yeah, I would say most people are probably into one or the other. I don't know if there's a whole lot of crossover.
Yeah, I don't know, but I guess it depends on what kind you like. But
what if you hated comics but only like books about comic book characters?
Oh, like the novelizations of things?
Yeah. Or not even novelizations. I have this book about I think it's called Tales from the Bat or Tales of the Bat. It's Batman, but it's not an adaptation of anything. It's just new Batman stories.
Just prose Batman stories.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nice.
Huh.
But our
website actually is turning out a lot cooler than I would have thought.
Gee, thanks.
It's turning out cool. Like, I don't think, like
my wife said, it actually looks like a real website.
We fooled y'all.
I guess for people who don't know, I did the website.
Yeah, Brian, so it's like, Brian did it all.
So all of these, oh, wow, it actually looks good and stuff, are just really backhanded compliments to me.
Well, we thought you were good at nothing.
Yeah.
But here it is. So anyway, that, and we have some contributors who haven't, I mean, they're just starting to get involved. So anyway.
Yeah. I've only written like two things on there. I was busy.
I've written quite a bit on account of me being out sick.
Yeah.
So. Anyway. Yeah. So my reviews will slow down. So anyway, that's going to be a lot of things that you can go to for reviews of movies and everything else in between podcasts.
Mm-hmm. There's comment sections, so, you know, feel free to chime in.
Yeah. And stuff. Yeah, and judging from our statistics, it looks like there's quite a few people going to it. So leave us a note next time. So anyway, not that I ever go on any website and comment.
Yeah, neither do I. Please do it for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but do it for us. So anyway, that's exciting. What else is exciting? I'm gonna go watch Mad Max tomorrow.
I'm jealous.
There will be a Mad Max review on our website this weekend sometime, probably Sunday. So anyway.
Cool. So review time?
Yeah, if you're ready. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, we're going to lead out on this song. We're going to take a short break. This song is called The Devil's Taking Names by the Lawrence Arms.
Shall we dance? Or maybe just look around? Show y'all something. There ain't a such thing as strumping for nothing. You can fly with us or hang on to the wall.
But the devil's taking names when the last curtain falls.
I got a deep sick worry and I don't know why. Where are you? What are you doing tonight? Never that quiet or almost the same.
All right, we're back. That was The Devil's Taking Names by Lawrence Arms. You can find that off their album, Oh Calcutta. So anyway,
is that your DJ voice?
Yeah, I guess so. I had a bubble in my throat when I started, and then I just kind of kept going with it. Yeah, so first we're going to talk about the trade paperback, Hellraiser, The Dark Watch, Volume 1. Brian, yeah. you want to give us a summary?
Okay, let's see. How to summarize Hellraiser?
Well, okay, if anyone's familiar, I've never read any of the comics. Have you?
No, I have not.
This is my entry into it.
Me too.
I have seen some of the
honest,
movies.
Yeah, be honest, I haven't even watched the movies in years.
Yeah, I that's what I was going to say. I have not seen all of the movies, especially like the one, I believe Paul Rudd is in one, and and I didn't see that one. And I think there's somewhere he's tied in with the internet, Pinhead is. Anyway. But
like Lawnmower Man?
Yeah, I did not see that. I've seen one and two, I know for sure, and I saw the one that they did a couple years ago just to keep the rights. I think it was...
Oh, yeah, Revelations or whatever? Yes,
I watched that. It's so good. Have you seen it?
No. Isn't it, like, super low budget?
It's really, really bad. Like, one of the worst movies you can watch, but I think we should cover it on here one day. It's really... Okay. Like, it's the epitome of a B-movie. But they made it on, like, 50 grand just to keep the rights.
And, like, the Pinhead guy is not even the same actor?
No, it's not like Doug Bradley. Yeah. But... Anyway, so, but anyway, if you're familiar with the movies, this doesn't really go too far off. There's a box. You can solve the riddle of the box. And basically, I've never really understood why the hell anyone has to solve that box. Like, it's just kind of an analogy for curiosity killed the cat, right?
I guess. After reading this, which I think we'll talk about in a second, this was like 100 pages of backstory, kind of. Do you feel like that too? Pretty much.
Well, I don't know when this happened in the Hellraiser canon.
Well, no, apparently there was a Hellraiser comic that came out before this, and this directly comes out of that.
So is this backstory to the Hellraiser comic?
It's some people from the Hellraiser comic. Like, some of the people were actually from the book or from the movies and everything. Mm-hmm. Like Chrissy or Christy or whatever.
Yeah,
is the chick from the original Hellraiser.
Yeah, yeah. I think she's in part two too. Anyway, I don't know.
I think so. But anyway, so there was a lot going on in this book, right? Filled with a lot of characters, and then every time that I thought they were like, okay, we've reached character equilibrium, you know, time for story, it'd be like, here's some more characters. but anyway, so I went on a little Hellraiser Wikipedia binge afterwards to see what was going on. But honestly, I couldn't find a lot of information, but... so maybe I need to read the comics and see what was going on beforehand.
It's also just like tons.
Keeps going back. But anyway, I don't really know
what to make of it.
Yeah, honestly, because I mean, there really wasn't much of a plot. It was 5 issues or 4 issues, right? And all 4 issues were basically the same, like, time period. Like the same slice, but told from different perspectives, right? Mm-hmm. And so there really wasn't like a lot of ground covered.
No, I will say, okay, the movies were cut and dry. They weren't very, it was, or at least the ones I saw, I don't know, maybe once they introduced Paul Rudd and the internet, they got a lot better. I don't know. But the couple that I saw, it's pretty much you solve a box. Cenobites come get you. They torture you. They guide you through hell and torture you, basically. And pleasure is pain, and pain is pleasure, and it's like super S&M-y.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's where I was going with that, with my Wikipedia binge, because I did not know that it was based on a book that he wrote,
mm-hmm.
The Hellbound Heart.
Yeah, I have that book.
Have you read it?
I've read At It. well, I read At It. It's kind of one of the reasons that I only like... It's not that I only like... Clive Barker is a great writer. I have a hard time concentrating on him for novel length. I love his short stories. I think they're great. But Hellbound Heart, if... Maybe I'm thinking the Damnation Game. I don't know. I have quite a few Clive Barker books, but...
But that one was like, you know, the original Cenobite story, right?
Yeah. And what all I was going to say is just his writing is very flowery. And we've talked about it before, how he writes like collegiate type fiction, very like literary fiction. And I'm pretty much like the opposite of that. I'm like, I'll read it, but it works a lot better as a short story. And so I could never get super far into The Hellbound Heart, is all I was going to say.
But from there, like the Christy Chick's uncle is like the main character in it. And he's looking for, you know, at least according to the Wikipedia synopsis, looking for like new forms of sexual pleasure. And that's why he opened the box. So at least he had like a... you know, didn't want to just go straight to hell sort of thing. But, you know, it is all about sadomasochism and not being able to distinguish really pain or getting so much pleasure from pain, you know, that it just kind of loops back around and there's no difference between the two.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, hell is the ultimate.
Yeah, it's just about sensory experience and less about, you know, whatever. But anyway, there was a lot of world building in this, okay, which I appreciate, and actually I am interested.
That's what I was going to say. All I was going to say, the reason I kept bringing up the movies, were they seemed a lot more simple. There was a few characters, there were Cenobites that would come, you would go to hell.
Yeah.
Okay. But this is such a giant, expansive universe, you know?
Yeah.
And this, it seems like it has a lot of ground to cover. Mm-hmm. Yes, I thought it was really cool, though, on some of the characters, because I was like, you know, I text you when I was probably 20 pages in, like, what the hell's going on? And then then I was like, oh, it turned out I scrolled too fast. I was doing this on a laptop. And I had scrolled too fast and missed a few pages, and so it kind of clued me in a little better, but it still didn't tell you who this guy was. But then later it gave the guy a chapter. Like, everything is just told out of order. So instead of having like these four stories diverge later, it tells you at the point of divergence and then goes back to give them backstories. Mm-hmm. And so I thought it was cool, and they were expanding this universe in a cool way. And it's pretty much it appears to be the story of the political power structure of hell and what was the thing called? Leviathan is now controlling hell, and I don't know.
I think he's always been in control of the Cenobites.
Has he? Okay, I don't know.
Yeah. But I'm really interested, because I basically, reading this out of context, you're just plopped in the middle of stuff, you know, like Pinhead's no longer Pinhead, and there was this chick who's also Pinhead, kinda, you know. But then there's this other guy who's in charge of hell and stuff, and it's like, I don't really know what's going on, right? But I think it piqued my interest enough to go back and check it out.
Yeah, you know, and I actually got this as part of a Humble bundle, and it gave me volume 1 and 2. So I'm gonna actually start reading volume 2 right now.
I think I'm gonna go see if I can track down the Hellraiser series before this.
Really?
Yeah. See what happens. It's only 20 issues. That's not bad.
Is it?
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm in. So, yeah.
Right. I mean. Other than that, I mean, I don't really know what else to say. I mean, like I said, it was a small chunk of story, and at first it's very confusing, right? but then it just goes back and fills in all the details. But then it's left you, like, by the end of the trade, you're left with a really big question, you know, and sort of a hook, no pun intended, to get you to come back. You know, I'm interested to see where it's going.
Yeah, it was, I really, like I said, I really enjoyed it. It was confusing as hell, but I enjoyed it. And I think out of a scale of 1 to 5, I would go with a solid 3.
Yeah. Nice, you know, middle of the road sort of thing. There was a couple of times where, you know, some of the art threw me off. Like, not that it was bad. It was just sort of like, you know, how you're not supposed to break the 180 rule, you know, in movies and stuff. Like, things would be shown from one angle, and then it would be shown from another angle, and it looked just completely different, you know. And it's like, wait, what just happened? I don't know. There was a part where somehow he picked up like part of a railing of a staircase and then stabbed her with it. And it was just like, it took me a second to realize what was going on, because it was just like, I don't know. It was kind of weird. And there was one point where, it was like I don't want to say it, cause it'll give away a little twist in the first issue, but one guy was attacking another guy. And then in the next panel, he was being like suspended from the ceiling with chains, but they were outside in a field.
Yeah. And well, that's because the chick had the,
yeah, I know. But I mean, it's just like some things just weren't super clear.
Yeah. It was a little clunky in the execution.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't enough to really take me out of it. You know, it was like a pause for a second, and then I'm like, you know what? This is weird S&M hell. I'll roll with it, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that being said, like, some of the designs and things of, like, the Cenobites, every time in my head I hear Cinnabon. But anyway, like, the Cenobites, you know, it was, like, really cool. You know, there's the dude with, like, the face stretched out. Did you see that guy?
Oh yeah, yeah. He was the one standout, and he didn't talk. Nothing. It literally like
nothing.
It just showed him walking by, and they had like ripped his face off and stretched it across like a pop stopper. Honestly, Brian, like, yeah. Like, or like, what do they call? I don't know. It's something with crocheting.
Oh, like cross stitch.
Yes, inside like
or The Last Human from Doctor Who, but you don't know what that is.
Mm-mm. Or so. Like a pizza, or like a pizza, a little pizza head.
But yeah, I like how he stood out for both of us.
But yeah, it was, I don't know. I mean, normally, you know, out of all the franchises, the horror franchises, I think Hellraiser is probably one of my least favorite. And I think this is a lot better than, this works more as a comic than it even did as a movie, I think. I don't know.
It's that. Because, like, there's no way you could do the, I guess, bad guy in the end of the fourth issue effectively in a movie.
No.
No way. You know, so I agree with you. And, you know, like, going back to the art real quick, there were points, you know, where it did like the whole background is just a color thing, you know, that a lot of people complain about in comics. But I think honestly, it kind of worked in their favor, you know, because you're just in some sort of weird ethereal hell.
Yeah, it works a lot better down there, though, than it does. Like, I didn't notice that happening to like Christy and people on Earth.
No, I don't think it did. So, I mean, it was probably an intentional stylistic choice, but I don't know.
Yeah, I liked it.
I dug it.
Right.
I'm actually, yeah, like I said, I'm very interested to see, and I realize this comics book's like 2 years old.
Yeah, it's super, super old.
But, you know, it's definitely piqued my interest, and I think they've got new ones coming out. I mean, I'm pretty sure Boom still has the rights to it.
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. But
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was Hellraiser. The Dark Watch, Volume 1. Yeah, I'd say pick it up.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially if you can get... Well, I don't know. They don't run the Humble Bundles like all the time, right? It's like you get like something.
Yeah, I mean, they run Humble Bundles all the time. It's just right like now it's different
ones. Yeah.
Yeah, the one running right now for books is Maker stuff. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty cool Humble Bundle. It's like, you know, a bunch of DIY things you can do.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. But the neat thing about those is you buy them. You can buy at any price. There's different books unlock at different levels. And generally, mm-hmm. if you think, okay, I can spend $15, you're going to get like $300 worth of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyway, and they keep it online. You don't have to download it all right then. They keep it online like a library. So
cool.
Anyway. But yeah, we'll be back. This song is Zombie Autopsy by one of my favorite bands of all time, Last Ride In.
I guess I couldn't take the fact I could not figure you out. At least not from the outside, so I ripped you inside out. I cut away the scar tissue, tore your cage apart, and found somewhere inside a bruised and broken heart. I studied all the signs, I followed up the seizures, but science can't explain why your heart just won't stop beating. I don't know why you hurt, but I know how it feels. You can't give up the fight because you don't know what you're fighting for. Show me where it hurts, and I'll try to soothe the pain. I'll laugh at your whole body, and I'll laugh at Novocaine. I don't know your purpose any more than my own, but I know the ones I love, and I won't let you let go. Tear away the sutures, rip yourself apart. Let the whole world know what it's like to be the living dead. Tear away the sutures, rip yourself apart.
All right, we're back. That was Zombie Autopsy by Last Ride In. I believe you can find that off their Bandcamp. I think they still
probably have
a Bandcamp account.
I think they do.
But yeah, they hadn't really been a band in a few years. And I don't know. They're an awesome band, so you should check them out. So anyway, they're kind of like a band in the same way that we're a band, that sometimes you'll play shows.
I think they're more a band than we are.
Well, they're a better band than we are, but but I'm saying as far as like their activity, like some, like me and you and Peach, we would get together and play a show tomorrow if we had a gig, right?
Yeah.
So we're not technically not a band anymore, but we're not technically.
I mean, it would be terrible, but we'd do it.
Oh yeah. But anyway, yeah. So what I'm saying is they're not defunct. They're just inactive.
Yeah.
Much like us.
Inert.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. This next song is next song. Son of a bitch.
You just really want to be
movie countdown.
I just really want to be a DJ, don't you?
Dude, I really want to be a DJ. I actually want to do like a top 10 music episode one day.
There's one more category to add, huh?
Well, We did kind of shoot ourselves in the foot by naming it B-movies and e-books.
Nah. Do you think, like, if you want to get really, like, non-specific with the labels, then I think everything we cover kind of falls under some... Okay, I'm just trying to justify it to myself.
We should have just called it art.
Yeah, art.com.
Yeah.
I'm sure that wasn't taken.
Oh, God. Can you imagine us doing, like, painting reviews?
Oh, my God. We should.
Oh, God. Do they have painting podcasts? It's like, his brush strokes.
The brush strokes on this were so cool.
That hue is awesome. All right. No. Yeah. So, anyway, the next movie,
Maggie.
Yeah. Right in the middle of talking, the next Maggie. The next movie we're doing is Maggie by Arnold. Oh my God. I don't know. I'm going to blame it all on the meds. The next movie we're doing is Maggie, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and Abigail Breslin.
Yeah.
First off, we have wanted for years to see a movie where zombies attack a place with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, I turned to my wife and I was like, you know, I was like, I never really realized I wanted to see an Arnold Schwarzenegger zombie movie. And I was like, and I still haven't.
Well, that's what you ruined my punchline. I was going to say the zombie Arnold Schwarzenegger movie would have been actually great to see him kick ass and do all the Arnold Schwarzenegger things. Instead, we got Maggie. This movie, you want to talk about the plot? What you want to talk a little?
You know, like, to me, it really felt less like a zombie movie than it was like just a father-daughter coming to terms with a terminal illness.
Yep. I had recently watched The Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
It is this movie.
Only slightly more zombies.
No, I mean, it's not really... It's just a movie about a kid with a terminal illness. I say kid, but she, I think, was like 19, something like that, but... she had terminal illness and her boyfriend was in remission. And so anyway, it was just them coming to terms with her coming to terms with death, and more of anything, it was a love story than a movie like this, but they definitely crossed over a lot thematically. This movie was really, really just didn't have much plot at all.
No.
At all. They only showed zombies once.
Twice.
Twice.
Mm-hmm.
When was the other
three,
one?
If you want to count the flashbacks of her actually getting bit.
No, I wouldn't. Oh, no, yeah.
He killed the one in the gas station.
Yeah, the gas station, then the woods. I forgot about the gas station. But anyway, yeah, they don't really show any zombies. So this is definitely not a story of a zombie apocalypse by any means, because mm-hmm. nothing was apocalyptic. Like,
it was post-apocalyptic.
Well, I mean, was there ever really like a giant apocalypse of it?
It's what it kind of seemed like, you know, maybe not a giant, but definitely a significant chunk of the population. Because if you looked at everything, it was all desolate, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have electricity.
No, but they still had a functional society.
Yeah, semi-functional. The to add insult to injury, there's also like crop failures and things like that. So it was sort of like post-apocalyptic, almost depression era mm-hmm. zombie movie.
And so Arnold Schwarzenegger plays a Midwestern dad.
Yeah, very convincingly, I might add.
I will say... other than his accent, obviously, he did a damn good job.
I really liked it. You know, it wasn't what I was expecting, because mm-hmm. I was expecting maybe a little more zombie action. So it was quite a departure, right? Mm-hmm. But I really liked it.
I did too. It was, it was an art house movie.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know, it was like a low budget character study of the apocalypse.
All the character studies were cool.
Well, no, I'm trying to figure out what it was. It was something in a class all its own. It was definitely a drama.
Uh-huh.
I would call it a drama, definitely not a horror movie.
Mm-hmm.
So the trailers were kind of misleading because they did put all of the zombie parts in the trailer. Is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
And then showed Arnold like in this burning field and stuff in the trailer. So it looked like he just kicked a lot of ass. But it turned out they were just burning.
Just burning the fields because there was like fungus.
Yep. Like, so,
I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of parts of it that really like stood out, like even cinematically, especially the last shot was really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just, it did use the overused zombie post-apocalyptic framing narrative of like news stories. You know what I mean? Like it opened up with voiceover of newscasts and things like that. Yeah, that
happens way too much in zombie movies.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, even like I watched Edge of Tomorrow recently, and it even did it.
You know, that kind of reminds me not to talk about Pillow Fright for a second. But in Pillow Fright, the screenplay that I wrote a long time ago, mm-hmm. There was news things of other interesting things from horror movies happening, but never tie into the plot of this.
Nice.
So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool.
So like reports of a hairy man attacking someone in the woods or something like that.
Yeah. My gosh, that dog's killing me. I thought I had muted the mic, but apparently I yelled Smith. So anyway.
But no, I mean, like, so there was that, but I feel like it was done effectively because it wasn't isolated towards the very beginning of the movie. You know, most of them, it's like you get this news narrative and then it's never there ever again, except for maybe like the end, like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Right. Where it's book ending.
Mm-hmm.
But it happened several times throughout the course of the movie, you know, to just kind of fill you in on the backstory of the world.
Yeah, because this, you know, there's only like 15, 20 actors in the whole movie with the majority of it just being Abigail Breslin and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't give you a big scope unless it told you
exactly what was happening. So I think it was an effective and efficient way to do it because there was a lot going on because it was, you know, post zombie apocalypse. So there was like basically zombie concentration camps.
Yep. And it was, I'm not going to say it's a tearjerker by any means, but it's definitely going to pull at your heartstrings a lot more than it is at being satisfied with your movie experience. Not saying that, you know, heart or tearjerkers can't be a satisfying experience, but I think this was less of a set, like it relied a lot more on your emotions than telling a story.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. I mean, but I think anyone who has seen like a loved one go through a terminal illness, you know, I think it would be, you know, really push some buttons on there.
So. Yeah, I could definitely see that. And so,
but I don't know. I think it was well acted. You know, it was
great
good.
Acting.
The only thing that stuck out at me was the wife. What's her name? Jolie Richardson.
Uh-huh.
Like, he had a weird kind of southern accent going on in that movie.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just unusual. Because, like, I watched Nip Tuck. Did you ever watch that?
No. I've seen an episode, but
yeah,
no.
And she was on, like, every episode of that. And so really? It was like, it was almost like if we had watched Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to do an accent.
Yeah, I'm so wished that he had gone for doing an accent. Hey, ma'am. You know, like that would have been amazing if he had just put on some real thick Southern accent.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what that would sound like.
Yeah. But this performance of his, it was very subdued, very calm. It was the opposite of every Arnold Schwarzenegger movie you've seen, as far as that goes. I feel like this was his, like him trying to actually tell everyone, hey, I can act.
Yeah.
A calling card for his older years. Mm-hmm. Because he's not going to be able to, like, what? He like kick tons of ass on screen much anymore.
They're not just going to CGI more muscles on him in Terminator movies?
I guess. I don't know. But yeah, so this, it felt a lot like JCVD. Did you watch that?
I did not.
I own it. I'll let you borrow it.
Okay.
It's pretty much only exists as a film to be like, hey, look, guys, I really can't act. Like, and, but no, I really enjoyed this movie. I don't know if it's something I would ever watch again, though.
Yeah, I can see that. It's like Passion of the Christ.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, no, I mean, it was a good movie. It's just not one that you're going to like pop in every weekend and be like, you know what? Let's watch Maggie.
Definitely not a party movie.
Yeah.
Party. Hell yeah, Maggie. It's right. Open. Shots. It's Shauna. Shots every time there's a zombie. This is the worst movie ever.
Like, I guess I'm slightly buzzed. But no, I mean, I did think there was some really neat. I mean, there was a lot of your typical zombie tropes in there, but I think there was a few that were interesting and kind of unique. Like, I liked the idea that it didn't just, you know, turn them into a zombie, but it also kind of gave them like this like gangrenous like rot to them. You know what I mean? Like, there was people who, like, it looked like their limbs and stuff just basically fell off before they were a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, and her arm and stuff like that. And I like the fact that there was like research done into the zombies, so much so that they knew like the process of it turning. You know, it's like, oh, well, if you've got heightened smell, then you're, you know, about to turn and stuff like that. And then they also gave the virus a name, which didn't really happen very often. You know, except for, I guess, 28 Days Later did it. The Rage Virus.
Yeah.
What they call this one? Necroambulus.
Yeah. No.
You know what that means? Walking Dead. Dead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of stupid. But I don't know. It was a good movie. It was just an art house movie, though.
Yeah, if you're going expecting, you know, Terminator versus zombies, you're not going to see it.
No, and I thought that I knew it was going to be a drama. I did not know the level of drama, you know, and the fact that it was going to be so just subdued performances, which were great.
Yeah.
Even though I found Abigail Breslin totally off-putting, and I have in every role she's been in since Zombieland. Like, I don't like her at all.
So what, anything in particular?
No, I just don't like her.
Okay.
She put in a good performance. I'm still like, eh. Like, I don't know why.
That's fair enough.
I mean, it makes no sense. Kelsey's the same way, too. We were watching it, and she said something, and I was like, oh, God, I hate the way she said that. It's like the way she, like, makes weird-ass faces. But she's a great actress. I don't know. Another person that makes weird faces along the same lines is Keira Knightley. Makes the weirdest damn faces in movies.
Yeah, she always looks like she's smelling poop.
Yeah. I like watching Keira Knightley, though.
I wonder if there's like a... You're just ending. I like watching Keira Knightley.
No, I like watching her movies better, though. She's not off-putting to me. I just am like, shit, she's making more weird faces.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if there's like a super cut on YouTube of all her weird faces.
I'm sure.
I bet it exists somewhere.
Like the Brad Pitt eating. Have you seen that?
Yeah. He eats in every movie. It's like his thing. What's it called? Like trademark? No.
Eating?
Yeah.
We owe him money every time we eat.
That's why he's so rich.
His calling card.
Calling card, yeah. I guess. I guess that's a better term for it.
But I guess.
I don't know. If you like sad movies, you would probably like this movie.
I don't think we're really selling it.
No, it was really well done. It was well shot. There was some really cool, even...
it was well shot, but I don't think that anything's going to be... There's not much colors. Like,
no, it was way the desaturated. The colors are
so desaturated.
But no, I mean, there was some good cinematography, though. There was some interesting uses of sound. Right, like whenever she was, you know,
oh, yeah,
really starting to succumb to the zombie stuff. Yeah, I mean, it was really well done. Mm-hmm. And this is like this director guy's first movie.
Yeah. No, it I would say check it out. I would say, honestly, though, I would wait to rent it.
Henry Hobson. I rented it on iTunes.
I did too. $6.99.
I know.
I would wait to Redbox it is what I meant by wait to rent it.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, all that he's got on his credits for director is Resistance 3, who he directed the trailer to that.
Yeah.
Which is a video game. And then the 84th Annual Academy Awards.
Oh, wow.
And then this.
Yeah. It was, he definitely seemed like a more seasoned director than just those three, but.
Oh, sweet. Sorry, I just read the synopsis to his upcoming movie. In a futuristic Earth where robots are banned, an ambassador looking to remove these restrictions is found dead.
What's hilarious is I was like, what is it, like Stallone versus robots?
Oh, like, my God.
Yeah, but it's going to be subdued. Like, we never meant to cause you harm. I didn't know.
Apparently it's a... That's pretty good. It's a Isaac Asimov book.
Oh, really?
Caves of Steel is what it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway, well. Yeah, it definitely felt like it was in, you know, not veteran, but at least somebody who had some movies under their belt. But
yeah. Okay, out of five, what would you grade it?
4.
I'd give it a 3.5. So maybe a 3. 3.5. We'll stick that 3.5. So, all right. Well, you got anything else?
No.
Keep in touch with us on Twitter at BNE Pod. Don't forget to go to BNE.com or B.
Well, no, you know, not BNE.com. Right, BNEPod.com.
Shit.
Or just BMoviesandEbooks.com also works.
Okay. So BNEPod.com or BMoviesandEbooks.com.
Yeah,
check those out.
If you like us on Twitter or Facebook, it's the same. You can go to that same thing.
The handle. Our Twitter handle. .com.
Yeah, yeah, but without the and.
I'm pretty sure everyone's. Yeah. So, anyway, that's just going to do it, unless you have anything else.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll be back in 2 weeks. I'm Craig Wade.
And I'm Brian Allen Delaney.
And this has been B-Movies and E-Books. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Is that our sign-off now? That was a pretty crappy sign-off.